How to do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Tuesday, July 23rd, 2019. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, good to be here.
Excellent. Also with me today, I have John Martellaro, sans Bell. Hi, John.
Hi, Kelly.
At least as far as I know, you didn't bring it with you today.
It's on the shelf if I need it.
It's just over there.
It's within reach.
So the first thing I want to talk about is we have seen news today that Apple is in talks with Intel to take that pesky mobile modem business off their hands. So that's been...
For a clean $1 billion.
For a nice, you know, a nice round billion-dollar number. I believe it was Charlotte wrote this up and said that it's advanced talks, and it's according to the Wall Street Journal. So generally, if the Wall Street Journal is reporting on something that hasn't happened yet when it comes to Apple, generally that means it's because you can totally see it from here. Like, even I can see it from here, and I don't even have to stand on tiptoe to do it. So it seems like it's pretty close to a done deal.
Well, let's place it into context, Kelly.
Yes. You know,
the whole thing started when Apple started having litigation troubles with Qualcomm about licensing. And that meant that in the midst of those legal battles, Apple was not going to have access to Qualcomm's 5G modem chip. Mm-hmm. So Apple started talking to Intel. And this is when the talk started happening. And Intel was having some technical difficulties, which worried Apple a lot and made it pretty crystal clear that Apple wasn't going to have a 5G phone in 2019 because of Intel's problems and because they weren't working with Qualcomm. So Apple talked to Intel and said, well, maybe if we bought you guys and our engineers were put on the job, we could come up to speed and maybe squeeze a 5G chip in 2019. Well, time passed, and that became impossible. But these talks had been in progress. Now what's interesting is that Apple and Qualcomm are, I don't know about friendly, but at least they're working together now. Apple paid its fee to settle the case, and Apple has access to Qualcomm 5G modem chips, which are believed to be in the 2020 phones. Mm-hmm. And now, for some reason, Apple is continuing the discussion with Intel about going ahead and buying their business, which raises in my mind the question, why are they doing that, considering that they have access to the Qualcomm chips? Maybe they're planning to forsake Qualcomm in a few years. Maybe they want to have a second source as backup. Maybe they want to develop expertise, and this is the way to do it. Or maybe it was used as a bargaining chip. This is my pet theory now.
Okay.
Maybe it was used as a bargaining chip where Apple says, Intel, tell you what, we'll take the modem business off your hands, even though you're having some technical problems and it's not probably as superior chip as Qualcomm's. We'll buy the business. We'll pay you $1 billion, but we want something in return for that $1 billion. We want special preference on the chips, on the CPU chips we want when we want them. That's my
theory. You mean on the for computers?
For computers.
Okay, so you think that there's a slightly more to this agreement than just
I think Apple will write you
a check and now we get to make our own modems.
If Apple says we're going to pay you $1 billion, we want something.
Also, something else also. Besides.
So
okay,
you get something, we get something.
Okay, I could see that being part of a handshake agreement. Andrew, what do you think?
Yeah, despite Apple's settlement with Qualcomm, I always believed that Apple was still continuing to develop its own modems.
Same.
So I think this deal with Qualcomm or with Intel is good for both companies. I mean, Apple gets more engineers and expertise, and Intel, the Wall Street Journal says, their smartphone operation had been losing about $1 billion annually.
Yeah.
So shedding that will help them with their own finances, and they can focus more on other stuff.
Right. And I think, like...
Oh, and they're getting patents.
Well, yeah. I like John's theory, but I'm not convinced it needs to go any further than now Apple owns a modem business, a modem manufacturing business, What does Intel get out of it? Intel gets to stop losing money and also get a big fat check from Apple.
Maybe Intel approached Qualcomm and said, would you like to buy our business and our patents? And then Qualcomm would have locked up all the 5G modem business and the patents. Apple stepped in and said, no, we don't think so. We want a piece of that pie. We want our patent portfolio as well.
I would guess that Intel never went near Qualcomm, but that's just me guessing. I don't think it happened. I do think that it doesn't necessarily. I know we like to attribute a lot of, you know, intrigue and extra dimensions to everything that Apple does, but that's because, you know, we have to fill in most of it a lot of the time. I don't think this is any more
tinfoil hats available now, $2.99 at Amazon.com.
But I don't know that it's any more complicated than Apple has been wanting to make their own modems for a while. And, you know, this goes back to the whole bringing the processors in-house.
Integration process.
Yeah, it goes back to, you know, we keep hearing about A-series chips in laptops so that Apple has complete control over that, you know. So, you know, they went Intel in the first place because they were working with other companies that couldn't evolve the way Intel was evolving. And so Apple was getting left behind with the 68K chips, which is how we ended up at, or with the PowerMac chips, which is how we ended up on Intel. So I could totally see this not being any more complicated than Apple going, we want to make our own modems. And yeah, we signed this deal with Qualcomm, but all this means is that, you know, we can come, you know, there's some loophole in that agreement, right? Like, it's only for existing products or something like that. So Apple comes out with something that's not subject to that agreement, has their own modems in it, and they're totally done. And, you know, maybe, you know, if Apple's making their own mobile modems, like, maybe this is as good a time as any to resurrect the 5G MacBook, you know, the cellular capable MacBook rumor, because that would be an interesting thing that Apple might try again.
I like your theory. I think I like your theory more than I like mine. Mine was just a supposition about the way things go corporate wise, but
yeah,
you make a good point. I mean, with Apple doing its own A-series chips, there's nothing bad about having patents, having fabrication process into technology, and having your own 5G built in to your systems if you want. And maybe there's license restrictions. Maybe with Qualcomm, you can buy 5G modems for phones, but maybe you can't put them in computers.
Right.
Maybe Apple wants to have a backup plan.
Or it doesn't cover computers, and so now Apple goes, ha-ha, 5G laptops, you know.
Yeah.
Something, yeah. Right? I don't know.
A-series MacBooks with a 5G modem.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
Why would you not, you know? And for the record, I am absolutely 100% convinced that Apple has tried this at some point internally already, and it just never made it outside. But I'm sure there was a point where Apple was slapping built-in, you know, mobile, you know, cellular modems, integrating them into laptops to see how it would work. And there was a power draw issue, or there was a design issue because the laptop was too thin or something. And, you know, now that we've had a bunch of shakeup in the design department, maybe that's where some of this is going to come from. So in like 3-4 years, we're going to get some announcement, you know, some sort of media event, and we're going to get some sort of announcement about some sort of machine, like some sort of new thing that Apple is announcing, and it makes its debut and it's got some sort of modem in it. And that modem is a direct result of the agreement that we're talking about right now. I can 100% see that happening.
I like that. I like that. Weave a nice story, Kelly.
Well, just like when I saw that this morning, the wheels started turning, because I'm like, well, what if Apple does make their own modems? What does that mean? And the first thing it means is, just like Apple making their own A-series, you know, the A-series chips, Apple makes those themselves so they can make sure, you know, they are the foremost expert. Apple is the foremost expert on what Apple wants out of hardware, whatever it is, you know, a processor, a screen, flash storage, whatever. Like, nobody knows what Apple wants better than Apple. So when Apple knows, and then Apple can also just tell Apple to go build it, like, that seems pretty great. And plus, you know, anything they can do that makes it so that that agreement with Qualcomm does not end up being as lucrative for Qualcomm as they wanted it to be is probably also just a bonus. So that's my theory on it. So John, I'm glad you like it. What do you think, Andrew? Does it sound plausible?
Yeah, that makes sense to me.
So what do you think about a cell modem in a laptop?
Interesting. I haven't heard those rumors in a while, so I would think that would be great to have a MacBook with cellular capability.
Yeah, I do too. Like, I know that Wi-Fi has definitely proliferated since the last round of extended. There was an extended period of time where people were clinging to the I think it was a 3G modem. The 3G MacBook or the 3G MacBook Air, I think, was the last time that this was something that people talked about at length. And I'm sure, like I said, I'm sure they exist somewhere on Apple campuses. There are some that have tried there. You know, people were trying this to see how it would work in practice.
I have some color on that. I read an article right after 5G was starting to get really popular and talked about. And the manufacturers of notebooks, I forget who it was. I think it was Asian suppliers. Maybe it was Lenovo. We're having trouble with 5G antennas in the notebook computers because these wavelengths are so short. They don't penetrate the case of the notebook computer very
well. Interesting.
And so they had these big honking antennas hanging out, and it was ugly. Now, I'm sure the engineers will solve the problem. But when you have a really short wavelength, it doesn't travel through metal at all. I'm negligible through plastic. So it could be antenna issues with 5G notebooks.
Oh, surely. You know, it'll be like I know the first generation of iPad and the initial iPhone, you know, they had that sort of black rubber stretch across a portion of the case for the antenna. Mm-hmm. I don't anticipate it being something like that, but I'm very interested to see how Apple engineers solve that problem, because if 5G signals don't penetrate metal and everything they make is literally carved out of a single slab of aluminum, it'll be interesting to see how they fix it.
Yeah. It's in contrast to an iPhone, which has a glass back.
Now.
And you can get penetration through the back.
Yeah, the evolution of that's going to be, I think, interesting. When we find out more, or when we have more wacky theories to give you, we will absolutely do that. If you have wacky theories, or even less wacky theories, that you would like to share with us, you can email observations@macobserver.com. You can get us at TMO Daily on Twitter, and you can leave comments in the show notes. I would like to talk for a moment about our sponsor today. Our sponsor today is OmniFocus. OmniFocus is a professional to-do list manager that helps you, as the tagline says, accomplish more every day. Now, OmniFocus is an app that you can run on your Mac, on your iPhone, on your iPad, on iOS. It's a universal app, so it's just the one download. You do get a free trial as part of that. It's a 14-day trial. You can have that on macOS and on iOS. You can get all your tasks in there, start syncing things up. OmniFocus will remember everything for you. OmniFocus makes planning projects and reviewing those projects easy, and it will help you finish projects on time, with reminders that are based on due dates and locations and all other sorts of things. You can create custom perspectives to only see a particular variety of tasks. You can actually use OmniFocus for the web, which is a new feature they debuted earlier this year. And so work PC people can now finally use OmniFocus for everything all the time, because the web component makes it so that you can access that anywhere. You can learn more for yourself and download that free trial from OmniFocus.com. That's OmniFocus.com. And we would like to thank OmniFocus for sponsoring the show today. Our other topic today also has to do with hardware. And that is USB hubs, and like sort of hubs in general that you would plug into your computer. And partly this started because, Andrew, you wrote up a story this morning about a nifty new bit of kit out of 12 South.
Yeah, they came out with a new USB-C hub today called Stego. They're kind of marketing it as what they call desktop friendly. Mm-hmm. Basically, the power cable is long enough to where you can hide your cables behind your desk instead of having the short cable that just hangs from your Mac.
Mm-hmm.
And it's cool because they also have this built-in travel plug that you can use on the go with your MacBook. You know, that's shorter, so it one cable for each purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a couple of USB-C ports, several USB-A, gigabit Ethernet, mm-hmm. 4K HDMI, and a couple of SD ports.
Yeah, I think there's an SD card and a micro SD card slot on the one side of it. The thing I liked about it was, first of all, the longer cable, so it can sit on the back of your desk reasonably, where you kind of want to, you know, wire all that other stuff up to the back of your desk. And also, I liked, so the shorter cable is sort of built into the side. You sort of slide it out of this compartment on the side of the unit. So when you toss it in your backpack, you don't have to remember to take extra cables with you. The one that you need is just there. So you take that, mm-hmm. pop it in the side of your computer, you know, you're using it on a table or whatever, and if you do have to take other stuff, or, you know, you just want to make sure you have a card reader and an Ethernet port wherever you are, this will do it. It looks really nifty, like most 12 South does. I'm a huge fan of 12 South gear. Hi, Andrew from 12 South. Full disclosure, I'm a huge fan and have been for a very long time, and I have a fair amount of their stuff because I really enjoy it. One of the things I always like about their hubs is that it always seems like somebody who actually uses whatever that is trying to solve a problem that they see with whatever the one is that they have. And so then 12 South builds a thing to fix that, which is always kind of nifty. John, you have a fair amount of mileage on USB hubs at your house in various capacities, right?
Yeah, I've been using USB-C hubs and Thunderbolt hubs on my Macs and my MacBook for quite some time and have some experience with it. Also, my wife bought a MacBook Pro 13-inch,
mm-hmm.
and we went through an interesting learning curve with the OWC, Other World Computing, USB-C and Thunderbolt docks.
Mm-hmm.
It turns out that I ordered the wrong dock for her MacBook Pro. I ordered a USB-C dock, which is mm-hmm. not Thunderbolt. And even though we don't have any Thunderbolt devices, the Thunderbolt drivers are better suited to working with a MacBook Pro and your docks. And so you really need a Thunderbolt dock when you buy a MacBook Pro 13-inch or 15-inch, or even a MacBook Air. The only reason I got away with a USB-C dock on my MacBook is because it doesn't have Thunderbolt and it doesn't have a very high power requirement. And so the single cable
mm-hmm.
that plugs into the MacBook and goes out to the USB-C ports was sufficient. And one thing I want to note for the listeners, and that is when you buy a USB-C hub or a dock and it advertises USB-C, that's the connection to your MacBook Pro or your Air or your MacBook. And mm-hmm. the dock itself may or may not have any additional USB-C connectors. So if you went out and bought a drive that had a USB-C port and it only came with USB-C cables, then you may not be able to plug it into the dock directly. You may have to hope that the box includes an adapter plug, or you have to go buy a USB-C to USB-A cable so that you can plug your USB-C drive into your USB-A port on your dock.
Right. And that's part of why we wanted to talk about this a little bit is this 12 South hub, A, it looks awesome. B, at the moment, absolutely doesn't work for me because I still have an old school MacBook, an old school MacBook Pro. It's 13-inch. It has a bunch of ports on the side. I know it's super weird. But I don't really have to carry any dongles around for anything except Ethernet because I have HDMI, I have a headphone jack, I have a few USB-A ports, and this StayGo hub is USB-C in that, like John said, it's a USB-C connection from the hub to your computer. And all of the USB ports on it...
Your new computer with a USB-C port, whether it's a yeah. MacBook with one, a MacBook Air with two, or a MacBook Pro with four.
Right. So it still needs it to connect to your computer has to have a USB-C port, which I don't have. But all of the things, all of the USB ports that are on it that you plug into are A, those, the old school, when you think of a USB cable or a USB connector, that's the one that we're talking about, the rectangular one with the, you know, that only goes in one side up and all of that. So That's, like John said, to that point, one of the things about it is making sure that you're getting the hub that does what you want, because maybe you went out and bought a bunch of USB-C stuff in order to prepare for your USB-C computer upgrade, but this hub isn't going to help you get there. So,
and the reason they call it a USB-C hub is because, of course, it doesn't transport Thunderbolt.
Right.
Now the USB-C ports on your MacBook or MacBook Pro or Air do, depending on your model, transport Thunderbolt over the USB-C connector.
Mm-hmm. Because that's not confusing.
This hub, yeah, right. Right. And there's a lightning bolt over a USB-C port that transports Thunderbolt. So that's how you can tell. Yeah. My wife looked at it and she says, is that a lightning connector? Because there's a lightning bolt. And I'm going, no, it's the Thunderbolt.
Close.
So, yeah. Yeah. So this USB-C sub is suitable for transporting USB protocol, mm-hmm. 3.0 or 3.1, depending on how good it is.
Right.
For transporting HDMI, for mm-hmm. transporting connections to Ethernet. Mm-hmm. So it does a USB-C connector and plug has the capacity to transport lots of different protocols, except in this case, not Thunderbolt.
Right.
Because it's not a Thunderbolt hub. If you want a Thunderbolt hub, I know of a couple. I think Belkin makes one and Otherworld Computing makes one.
Yeah, there are a few out there if a Thunderbolt hub is what you need. But part of this is just we're kind of in this weird space right now where you may have a reasonably new machine that's all USB-A ports and not have any need for a USB-C to your laptop hub or to your Mac, you know, hub at this moment. But it's getting to be time because as we've seen from Apple, like they've sort of forsaken USB-A. So it's getting to be time, you know, to sort of watch for specials to replace some of those thumb drives that you may be using or hard drives, you know, that have that USB-A connector. Maybe it's time to, you know, next time you see a sale on a cable for it, you know, pick one of those up or, you know, get an adapter here and there. It's time to start sort of prepping to go to the next connector, sort of like we all had to do when we went to USB in the first place from ADB and SCSI and all the other nonsense that you used to have to use to hook things to your computer. So
one of the things that we learned with my wife's MacBook Pro is that 4 USB-C ports is hardly enough.
Wow.
If you don't use a hub, you got one for power, you got one for a little hub that goes USB-A for your keyboard and your mouse, unless you're wireless. Uh-huh. And you got one port for your Time Machine drive. Uh-huh. And then you got another port for your HDMI connector or your DisplayPort connector to your external big display. Mm-hmm. You're booked.
And now you're out. Yeah.
You're out. So it's helpful to have a dock, even with a MacBook Pro with 4 ports. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's also helpful because if you do take your computer places, you don't have to unplug all of that stuff and then plug it all in again every time you leave your desk. So for me, it's not necessarily a matter of like I'm out of ports. It's a matter of convenience. Sit down, plug in the one thing, and the microphone, the headphones, the camera, the monitor, like all that stuff is just connected when I use that one cable to make it all happen. So that's always nice. Now, Andrew, what is your peripheral situation?
I do have a USB-C hub for my iPad Pro. Mm-hmm. It is the Hyperdrive by, I think it's called Sanho Corporation.
Yeah, they Hyperjuice, I think, is a lot of their stuff shows up as Hyperjuice is the name.
Well, that's the latest one. This one was, I don't know if it was exclusive to Kickstarter. I don't think I've seen it anywhere else.
Yeah.
But it's pretty nice to have.
Yeah, they do for a number of Kickstarter projects. USB-C is all stuff. Usually USB-C hubs are better suited to the iPad like you have. Because that's all everything is that wants to connect to it. So how's it working out for you?
Good. I like it.
Excellent. That's what we like to hear. If you have hardware questions, as I said, you can leave comments in the show notes. You can email us with observations at macobserver.com. And you can catch us at TMO Daily on Twitter. I want to thank both of you for being here today to talk to me about internal hardware and external hardware. Andrew, thanks for coming by.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And John, thanks for being here, even though you didn't have your bell today.
You're very welcome. It's nice to be here. Thank you. I'll bring it out when necessary, though.
Oh, I know. I have no doubt. I have complete faith in your ability to haul out the bell when the bell is needed. I appreciate it very much. I've been your host, Kelly Gamont. This is the Daily Observations Podcast for July 23rd, 2019. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other.